Alabama and Tennessee syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio, Phil Williams here live in the Right Side Studios. Man, we got the local, the state, the national, and yeah, sometimes the international. And oh yeah, like the dude just said, solid conservative and just plain right. Welcome to hour number three on a Friday afternoon. All right, so we're going to, by the way, don't forget, coming up at the bottom of the hour, we're going to have Emily Jones calling in from Moms for Liberty. They had a major event for TPUSA Faith last night, which had some significant moments of consternation leading up to it. That being said, what we usually do on Friday afternoons is what we're about to do right now. We go to a segment we call JP on Sports, because my JP here is a guru on sports, all things sports. He gives us the three and out, which is the top three stories as he sees it, followed after that by the 2-minute warning, which is 2 minutes per story running the gamut of sports. He also has the best sound effect of all of Right Side Radiodom, courtesy of Sorority Girls at Auburn. Play it.
JP on Sports!
Yeah! And he smiles every time. It's always that kind of calm little, I like that smile. Yeah. All right, man. JP on Sports, three and out. Go.
We got another great weekend of college football. In my opinion, though, this may shock you when I say this. I think the game to watch this week is Auburn-Georgia, the Deep South's oldest rivalry this weekend.
I'm taken aback by this.
And I'm going to tell you why, okay? So Georgia, you know, they dropped the game to Alabama, but then they bounced back with a convincing win against Kentucky at home. Auburn, on the other hand, though, Auburn had a bye week last week. So right. Auburn had an extra week to prepare against Georgia and, you know, maybe have some guys that were banged up heal up a little bit while Georgia didn't have that bye week. And this game is going to be at Jordan-Hare, which is a haunted place, so anything can happen. Game under the lights, so it's going to be a nighttime game there as well. So there's a lot of elements here that could come up with an Auburn win. However, I'm not quite on the ship yet to say Auburn is going to win because Auburn, just to be frank, has not shown me much at all this year. They had a great game against Oklahoma,
right,
which they kind of got robbed out of that. But right. Other than that, Auburn's really struggled offensively. Jackson Arnold has not had any time to throw at all. I believe he's leading the nation in sacks as a quarterback. So the offense has not convinced me yet to say they're going to win, but the line is 3.5 for Georgia. So I think it's going to be an interesting game to keep an eye on. I'll just say that.
I would agree with that. And I look forward to it with some kind of almost like nervous anticipation.
Yes.
Like the possibilities exist. So I'm leaning forward in my chair, but at the same time,
yeah,
it's been a rough season already.
Yeah, and there's also Bama-Missouri. Bama going to Missouri, 11 a.m. kickoff. So that one, you know, I understand completely the people saying Missouri could pull off a win on this one. Missouri is a very solid team, undefeated. It's at their place. But I'll just – my retort to that would be Missouri's schedule has been very weak up to this point. 11 a.m. game, they're going to be like rolling out of bed, you know, to play that game, which I think favors the away team in that because the crowd may be a little less dead, a little less home field advantage. And Alabama, I mean, Ty Simpson, he's flying under the radar for Heisman contention right now. 13 touchdowns, only one interception. He threw one interception last week, his first one of his career. I think the offense is firing on all cylinders for Bama. Defense has played really well last week, second half against Vanderbilt. I don't know. Maybe a little biased here. I just don't see Missouri coming out on top from that one.
So I'll be honest with you. I am, of course, not a Bama fan whatsoever. But I'm intrigued by and I honor the idea of a guy who sat in the background for years,
waiting his turn in this era,
and now having a chance to be considered a Heisman candidate.
That
to me is like the Cinderella story of football.
I agree. And also, there's the Red River Shootout.
Oh, yeah.
Well, okay. Now it's called the Red River Rivalry. Because
it's a shootout.
Woke got another rivalry name. But that one, that one's a little less interesting, in my opinion. Oklahoma's really banged up. Mateer, their starting quarterback, is probable, but he's been hurt. Texas has been struggling really well. So I don't know. Whoever wins that one, choose your pick, but I don't know if that's the most interesting game this week.
Was that all one?
That was all one, yes.
That was all one.
Yes.
So basically college football was number one.
Yeah.
All right, number two, what you got?
MLB playoffs,
It
was a very interesting week. I'm very happy because both the Yankees and the Phillies dropped their game, and I pulled a sound effect for this one.
The Yankees lose,
as Big Poppy says, which is always a good day, in my opinion. The worst two fan bases I've experienced and MLB with Yankees and Phillies. So when they lose, it's a good time for me. But the other two series are still really close. We got in the ALDS, we got the Tigers and the Mariners, which is 2-2 right now. They'll be playing tonight, and they'll play the Blue Jays, who beat the Yankees. Then they got the Cubs and Brewers, which are also 2-2. They'll play Saturday, and they'll play the Dodgers. So I kind of predicted the Dodgers would beat the Phillies. Yankees, though, really surprised me. I thought the Yankees would come out better, but the Blue Jays, I don't know if anybody would have beaten them with how they played. They were on fire offensively. Vlad Guerrero Jr. had a heck of a series, so we'll see if they can keep that going. But you know, these other two series are much closer. I think the Mariners will pull out in that one. I thought it was the Tigers, but I'm changing my pick there. And then I still think the Brewers are going to come out against the Cubs. But
Has the Blue Jays ever won a World Series?
That's a great question.
I don't know that question.
I think they have.
I mean, a Canadian-based team win the World Series. I don't know.
I'm pretty sure they've won at least one. They've won two.
They have? Okay.
They went back-to-back. 92 and 93, they went back-to-back.
Did not recall that. Okay. All right. That's two?
Yes,
all right,
two.
What's three? What you got?
Well, we talked about it throughout the week. It was also mentioned earlier in the show, but I think it's worth talking about you know, the Super Bowl halftime performance. Bad Bunny, who is doing the main one, the halftime performance. And there's been a lot of pushback because NFL chose this guy who is mocking America, going on SNL saying how, you know, Americans have 4 months to learn Spanish so they can watch the halftime performance. And not only that, but he got even more heat because he actually was at the Yankees game, two nights ago, and was somebody took a picture during the God Bless America, you know, the seventh inning time when they played God Bless America. He remained seated. He did not stand, and he remained seated and just kept talking to his friends next to him as if nothing was happening. So that just kind of adds on to the already loud pushback against why the NFL is choosing somebody who hates America like this.
Yeah, what a turd.
The TPUSA is doing an alternate halftime performance. It won't be live, obviously. My guess would be, since they're in Arizona, they may rent out like the Arizona Cardinal Stadium like they did for Charlie Kirk's funeral, and they have bands for people to go and like on YouTube or something to watch instead, which I think is a bit of a breath of fresh air. It's going to be interesting, though, if the TPUSA halftime performance picks up some steam. Can you imagine if the TPUSA halftime show has more viewers than the actual Super Bowl halftime show? Like, can you imagine the message that would send to the NFL and to, you know, culture in general?
I think that's the point.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So I don't know who they're going to choose as the performers. That's been yet to be released. But I really hope I'll be watching that one instead, more than likely. So I really hope that the TPUSA one ends up garnering more viewership, because man, the slap in the face to the NFL, that would be, and to Bad Bunny for that matter, it would be great.
I assume that the TPUSA event would have to be all streamed online.
Yes.
As opposed, there's no network picking it up, right?
No, it would be all on, you know, their website or YouTube or something, as I understand. I think that'd be a bit of a conflict for any cable to pick it up instead. But yeah, it's something to keep an eye on. TPUSA has got the resources to put together a great production, as we've seen throughout the years. So I think they could rival it for sure.
I think they could. All right, so let me just ask you. We got about a minute, so let's go into overtime here. What would you want to see? Now, you're from a different generation than me, so I got all kinds of like bands from my era. What would you want to see as a halftime show production, if you could?
I mean, the popular pick that I would agree with has been Creed.
Creed.
Have Creed do
That's
it.
My generation. Okay,
Creed
I like
is great.
It.
But I mean, just anybody that is patriotic. I mean, have a Jason Aldean thrown in there.
Yeah.
You know,
John Rich.
Yeah. Like, it doesn't all have to be, you know, country for that matter. It can be a mix. But I think, you know, bands like that genre, and I think you can't go wrong. As long as they're patriotic, I think people are going to get on board with it.
They'll still only have 20 to 30 minutes to do their, because they extend the halftime during Super Bowl, don't they? It's not 15 minutes.
Yeah, I think it's about 30 minutes.
Yeah, so they'll have to like be ready to launch. So I wonder if they're going to do like a watch party in the stadium of the game
itself, and then
go to a halftime show.
Yeah, it's a good point. They may, you know, have tickets so people go watch the game and watch an actual performance they want to see in person. That's a good point to it as well. This is going to be interesting.
You know what? Here's how it could get even bigger. Let's just talk about this for a minute. So TPUSA could like get like several stadiums around the nation. You don't have to travel to Arizona. You could go to the one in Birmingham. You could go to the one in Atlanta. You could go, you know what I'm saying?
Have watch parties nationwide.
Watch parties nationwide set up, and TPUSA dominate and do more in ticket sales, not just streaming, but even in ticket sales.
Man, that would be awesome. Humble the NFL.
You know what? They need to be humbled.
They do.
That was a good three and out. Actually, I think I interjected more often on that one than I've done. Okay, the whole Bad Bunny thing's got me wired up.
Yeah.
All right, that's round one of JP on Sports. We come back, and you got the next round, which is called the two-minute warning. I've got a timer and a buzzer. He's got 2 minutes on each and every story he can cram in for the next segment. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We're going right back to round two with JP on Sports. Just a reminder for you that JP on Sports every week is brought to you by Inspire Advisors. Inspire Advisors with biblically responsible investing principles. I'll tell you more about Inspire Advisors in a few minutes, but they are your weekly sponsor of the Right Side, JP on Sports. By the way, Steve from Owens Crossroads wants you to know he thinks Ted Nugent for the halftime show.
I saw that. There's another good one of Kenneth from Somerville saying it should be Five Finger Death Punch. Another great option. great band there. So, yeah, there's a lot of good options.
Awesome. All right, let me get my stopwatch ready because this is the section that we call the two-minute warning. I've got a stopwatch and a timer, and he's got 2 minutes per story. First one, go.
Once again, talking about Ryan Clark, the ESPN commentator, who is once again stepping in it, as he tends to do.
Like he lives that way.
So just a little background to this story. There was a tragic situation that took place earlier this year. Kyron Lacy, who is a former LSU wide receiver, last year, he got arrested because he was recklessly driving, swerving in and out of lanes, and caused a wreck. Somebody ended up dying. A veteran ended up dying in a wreck because they swerved out of the way of him swerving out of lanes and wrecked and passed away, unfortunately. This ruined Kyron Lacy's career. He was going to be a first-round draft pick, ended up getting arrested and not getting drafted. Well, the day before his trial in court, he unfortunately took his own life. And this past week, there was footage released from his lawyer insinuating that Kyron Lacy was actually innocent this whole time and that the police were lying, and used footage to try to say he wasn't near the wreck. Well, then the police, Louisiana police, then released footage of their own saying, no, he actually was, and disproved everything that the lawyer said. Ryan Clark decided to go on ESPN and insinuate that police were racist. Kyron Lacy was innocent all this time. Everybody owes Kyron Lacy an apology. Well, Ryan Clark, after the Louisiana police released their footage, then had to go and apologize on ESPN for his comments before knowing all the facts. So this is the third time he's had to apologize in 3 straight months. He apologized after race-shaming Robert Griffin III for marrying a white woman. He also had to apologize after an on-air and off-air blow-up with one of his colleagues that he didn't play football, so he can't have comments on what they were talking about at the time. And now Kyron Lacy in this situation. So maybe Ryan Clark needs to start thinking twice before he talks, because he has a tendency of putting his foot in his mouth, and he's always proven wrong and always having to apologize.
But does ESPN Corporate ever say anything to him about it? I mean, never mind, 2 minutes.
I assume they're the ones making him apologize, so there's that.
Well, that may be true. Okay, yeah. Reset the clock. 2 minutes, go.
So Bill Belichick, who's having a great time at UNC, by the way.
He says he is.
No, they're awful, and he does not look like he's having a great time. So there's rumors that somebody leaked that Bill Belichick was already having conversations with UNC athletic directors and higher-ups about accepting a buyout already and potentially going into the media realm or going to another school. And the reason I know that these rumors were legit is because immediately UNC and Bill Belichick put out statements saying that they were incorrect. So that pretty much says that they were correct. And if they had nothing to them, then they probably wouldn't be saying anything about it. But if that were the case, if Bill Belichick does accept a buyout, either before the season is over or after the season, which at this rate, they're not going to be making the playoffs. Could it be one of the worst hires in college football history? Just think about it. Think about how much they paid for Bill Belichick and his contract.
Yeah.
Just for him to come in 1 year, have his crazy girlfriend come in and take over things and become like the head of she's a head of some department within the football program, something like logistical stuff.
Looks like his daughter.
Yeah, have her come in and take over things, and for the team to be awful. All your recruits that Bill Belichick was maybe pulling in are going to leave after Bill Belichick leaves. So it really was just an investment because Bill Belichick had the name ID, and then his son, who is currently the defensive coordinator, I would assume would take over after that, and Bill Belichick would be on his way. If that were the case, I'm going to throw it out there. That could be the worst hire in college football history. I know that's saying a lot, but if you look at the failed investment, that aspect, pure money-wise, it's going to be awful if that's
more than Mike DuBose at Alabama.
Well, Mike DuBose didn't get paid Bill Belichick's money, so there's that.
Good comeback.
Yeah. So, I don't know. It's still to be determined. Like I said, him and UNC claim that he's sticking with it, but something to keep an eye on.
There you go. There's the buzzer. Reset the clock. We got time? Yeah, we got time. Go for it.
Another example of how the college football world is spiraling out of what it used to be. Apparently, legislation is pending, could be passed before next season, that would allow college football teams to have sponsorships on their jerseys.
Oh my gosh.
So not only is the we're starting to see some sponsorships on fields. Auburn has a sponsorship on their field this year. It's escaping me at the moment. It's an Alabama company. I think it's actually Yellowwood. I could be wrong. Anyways,
probably is Jimmy Rain.
Yeah, Jimmy Rain.
Trustee.
But now it looks like we could be having patches on the jerseys. The MLB introduced that. They've started allowing patches on the sleeves, which is one thing. But part of college football and its pageantry and tradition is the iconic jerseys, and it's almost like putting a bumper sticker on Ferraris with some, you know, like the traditional jerseys of like the Ohio States, the Penn States, the Alabamas, the Auburns, the, you know, it's gonna ruin it. And LSU, although apparently already has a deal in place for with a company that will put patches on their jerseys, assuming that this is going to get passed. So it looks
like, what, Bubba Gump Shrimp?
Something like that. I don't know. But it looks like LSU has already got something in order. So I think this is going to happen, unfortunately. But like I said, it's just going to ruin the pageantry look. And look, every year there's something like this that happens that just shows how different the college football world, the college sports world in general, is changing. And not for the better, because it's just, it's becoming too corporatized, too much money involved, too many hands in the cookie jar, and it's just ruining things, unfortunately. Ruining the tradition.
I wonder, is there anybody like Under Armour or Nike that actually makes the uniform? So they have their brand on it. You can see the brand. Mm-hmm. But I wonder if they have any like skin in the game on questioning other brands being attached to their product that they entered into a contract with.
I would assume
with
the school, I mean, I guess they can choose to pitch a fit over it, but I think the schools will have the final say.
Oh, wow. Okay, that's crazy talk. That and NIL and everything else. Is that the music?
It is.
We're done. All right, that was fast. JP on sports. Coming up next, our good friend Emily Jones, Moms for Liberty, hosted an event last night for TPUSA in Madison, and the church that was hosting it got vandalized because how dare they have conservative speakers. Ha-ha. We'll talk about that with Emily Jones coming up next. Y'all stay tuned.